Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of September 24, 2021. This weekend, we pray for the people of our nation and for God's protection and care for those who look to Him in our nation and throughout the world. We also pray for those dealing with COVID, for those on ventilators and receiving care, for those with vaccine injuries and recovering, and others. Our first lesson is from Numbers chapter 11. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat! We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child,' to the land that you swore to give their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once, if I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Our next reading comes from James chapter 5. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Our gospel reading is from Mark chapter 9. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, for everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. And the reading for our discussion today is from Exodus chapter 2. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank, and his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." One day, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together. And he said to the man in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" He answered, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." When the Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. The shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and saved them and watered their flock. When they came home to their father Royel, he said, "How is it that you have come so soon today?" They said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and even drew water for us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Then where is he? Why have you left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses his daughter Zipporah. She gave birth to a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." During those days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. There's a lot of potential wrapped up in a little baby. When a family looks forward to a birth, it is an exciting time, but it is also a fearful time. There's so many what-ifs that come in. What if something happens to the mother or the child? What if the child is sick? What if father or mother loses their job? Or what if we can't afford this child? When Jesus was crucified, he spoke of a day when the daughters of Jerusalem would mourn. and as they led him away, they seized one, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there following him a great multitude of the people and of women, who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" There was coming a day when Jerusalem would be conquered and defeated by the Romans. When times of war and disaster and fearfulness come, that's a really difficult time to be a new parent. Imagine trying to care for a child in a war-torn land. Or imagine trying to care for a child in a land where the government was doing onerous things with the people, forcing and coercing them to do things which were against their best interests. Jesus is God. He knew exactly what was coming. Terrible things were coming. Jerusalem would be conquered in 70 AD. Dr. James Feltz uses data from Molina and Rohrbaugh to indicate that life for children in Jesus' time was incredibly harsh. He was sharing this data in the Concordia commentary from the book of Mark. They point out that 60% of children from infancy on didn't make it to age 16. In times of drought, famine, war, and pestilence, children always fare the worst. Pharaoh wanted to do away with all the male children. This was war on the Hebrews. This was genocide. That was the intention, getting rid of the male children. Of course, what Pharaoh was doing was evil. Just like the genocides, eugenics, and euthanasia in previous times and our own time are. Life belongs to God. It is His possession. It is His to give and His to take away. Although in times of just war and in times of unjust oppression, war is necessary. There were times when God required His people to defeat an exceptionally evil culture, times when those cultures were so violent and evil they could not be salvaged. Those were times when life had to be taken. The children of Israel were in Egypt for 400 years. It was 400 years from the Pharaoh that seemed to be a just man in Joseph's time to the time of Moses. Think of our culture. If you go to Plymouth Rock in Massachusetts, you will see a date chiseled on that rock, 1620. Here we are, 2021. In 1620, the Pilgrims were a culture of strongly Christian people with some outsiders, some sailors among them. They established a Christian community. They were incredibly conservative in their dress and their customs. Their focus was their faith and living out a Christian morality. That is why they came to the New World in the first place, so they could do that. The founders of the United States were also quite conservative in nature and tended to be religious people. Many of their documents are rooted in biblical law and morality. Here in 2021, we have seen the utter moral decay of our nation. We have seen wanton destruction of human life from the womb to the aged. We have seen the destruction of our education system and its infiltration from some folks who do not have the best interest of our children's care and their best educational outcome in mind. We've seen incredible corruption throughout our political system, from local elections to the national level. We've seen the wanton destruction of our environment. It's been 400 years since the Pilgrims. Civilizations rise and fall. There are many ways by which civilizations are destroyed from within. It has happened many times throughout history. We shouldn't be surprised about the decay in our own society, even if we are saddened. There are people that would like to create utopia on Earth. There are many cruel and terrible prescriptions for how this utopia should come about. I have to say that I grew up in a good era. The 70s, 80s, and 90s were generally good years for our nation, although there was plenty of corruption and decay in all of those times. Now, on the surface, times may have been good, but underneath, all of these times were the countless humans who never made it into the world because of abortion. Millions and millions of people never came into the world. The number is that staggering. Literally, on this day, September 24, 2021, there's some calling abortion a constitutional right. I would like to think the founders would be rolling in their graves at that statement. Those who believed in the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, who had strong consciences and moral thought, would have never accepted that reasoning. The people in the generation before me would probably say that they grew up in the best era of our country, and they may be right. I have no access to the generations before the 1900s other than some of the amazing stories and accounts of things that happened during those times, yet there were always wars and rumors of wars in all those times. And in our own time, there is no perfect time on this earth. Make no mistake, I'm sorry to say, there is no utopia. There is no Garden of Eden to be found on this earth any longer. It was wiped out in the flood. But remember, Adam and Eve had been cast out of the Garden of Eden. It could not be entered any longer. There will never be a truly perfect place or society on this earth, even in the best of times, in the best of places, because there will always be sickness, death, and disease. There will always be sin and decay and corruption in this world. Even for those who are currently working on eternal life, the billionaires who are trying to come up with ways of living eternally, they may be successful in arresting some of the effects of aging, but they will still be living in a corrupt and sinful world. They will still be mortal. So they could succeed in arresting aging and still meet with a mortal accident or circumstance. God is the source and sustainer of life. He is the one who will give us new bodies in the resurrection which cannot be corrupted, which will live eternally. Only He can give us heaven, can give us paradise. Those who believe in Christ will pass into life. Those who do not believe will pass into eternal fire. Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the only truth, the only life. For those who want to do evil and destroy life in such a wanton way, they are often thwarted in unexpected ways. God's will is always done, even when humanity does evil and seeks to get around God's ways. A Levite woman has a child. The rule is that the male children are to be done away with. She cannot do harm to her beloved child, so she breaks the law. She hid him as long as she could, for 3 months. But when she could no longer, she made a floating basket, made of bulrushes, and coated it with bitumen and pitch, much like Noah's Ark. And she relied on God to protect the child. She put the child in the reeds by the riverbank, and his older sister stood at a distance watching what would happen. Pharaoh's daughter comes to the river to bathe, and she had her servant open the basket. There was a beautiful baby there. She took pity on him, realizing this was one of the children of the Hebrews. Since the little girl was waiting and watching, the girl said, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said, "Go." And the girl went and got her mother. Pharaoh's daughter had her nurse the child, and she gave her wages for it. And when the child grew older, he became the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and she called him Moses. The child grew up, but some of his loyalty to the Hebrews, his own people, remained, and an Egyptian was beating a Hebrew, and it made him angry. So he killed the Egyptian and hit him. Yes, he murdered him. Yet, he did not cover his tracks, because when two Hebrews were struggling and arguing, Moses tried to settle it. "Why do you strike your companion?" And I paraphrase here, but the gist of what he said was, Who are you to talk? Are you going to kill me like you killed that Egyptian? Moses was afraid because people knew about what happened. It was only a matter of time before Pharaoh would hear about it. And when he did, he was going to kill Moses. So then Moses fled to a place called Midian. There he sat down by a well. Does this sound familiar? Wells are important, aren't they? They're still important today. They were important in many places throughout Genesis, as we were reading before. So many of us have city water, but where there are not water towers and city water, there are wells. The priest there in Midian had 7 daughters, and that was where they got water for their flock, and some shepherds came to prevent them from getting water, and Moses drove them off. Their father, Royel, wondered how they gathered the water so soon, and they revealed that an Egyptian had helped them. Royel told them to invite him to eat. As a fugitive, Moses came to live with the man, and the man gave his daughter Zipporah as a wife. She had a son named Gershom, and time passed, and the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, died, and the slavery of God's people became more and more onerous. God heard their cries. Here we learn in the text that God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even though they were long gone, God remembered his people. He wasn't going to let them suffer forever. But this was the end of the 400 years that they would be in Egypt. God had told Abraham a long time before that his descendants would be in Egypt for 400 years and would be in slavery there. The time was coming when he was going to bring them out of Egypt and bring them into the land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey. There's evil and cruelty because we live in a sinful world. Evil happens because Adam and Eve got the world that they bargained for. They wanted to be like gods, knowing good and evil. People know what evil is, yet people still do evil. Sometimes in this world, it seems like evil is winning, yet God knows all. I'm going to share some selections from Psalm 36 and 37. In 36, transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There's no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. And then in contrast, it says of God, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Men and beasts you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God! The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life, in your light do we see light. So that speaks of the evil, and then it speaks of God's righteousness. And then in Psalm 37, it tells us about living and dealing with the evil in our world. This is God's advice to us. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine they have abundance, but the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows, but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. Sometimes it seems like evil is winning, but there will come a time when we all have to stand before God from the time of Pharaoh and before to the present time and beyond. This life is short, but God is above all. We who believe belong to the Lord. No matter what happens in this life, as the psalm says, the Lord will not forsake his saints. And the saints are those who believe in Christ and depend on him. We who believe will not be put to shame. You can count on this. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we live in fearful times, but you are righteous. Lord Heavenly Father, we depend on your guidance and protection all our days. We pray that in the present evil times you will bring evil to nothing, that you will forgive our sins and look upon us who trust in you with your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for the people of our nation that their eyes would be opened and that they would realize that you are the giver and sustainer of all things. Help them to know and see your Son. Heavenly Father, we pray for your protection and care for us who look to you, here and throughout the world. Where there is evil, where there is injustice, let your light, Jesus, shine in the darkness. Let him bring justice to the dark places. Lord, we pray that you would bring healing to those with COVID, those on ventilators and receiving care, for those recovering, and for those with vaccine injuries, that you would bring them healing. We pray for all others who look to you in their time of need. Lord, hear our prayers and let our cries come to you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our verse for this week comes from Mark chapter 9, verses 39 to 40. But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us." All our scriptures and passages come from the English Standard Version of Scripture. If this podcast is helpful for you, If it could be a blessing to someone, please share a link to it. This week may have recently been that we've done Built on the Rock, but in times like this, in difficult times, in strange times, it's important to hear that the church is always built on our rock, Jesus Christ, who is the church, all who believe in him.
Built on the rock. Built on the rock. Built on the rock. Built on the rock, the church shall stand, even when steeples are falling, crumbled half spires in every land, bells still are chiming and calling, calling the young and old to rest, but above all the soul's distress, longing for rest everlasting. Surely in temples made with hands, God the Most High is not dwelling. High above earth his temple stands, all earthly temples excelling. Yet he who dwells in heaven above chooses to live with us in love, making our bodies his temple. We are God's house, God's living stones, built for his own habitation. He through baptismal grace our souls, heirs of his wondrous salvation. Were we but to and his favor. Here stands the font before our eyes, telling how God has received us. The altar recalls Christ's sacrifice, and what his supper here gives us. Here sound the scriptures that proclaim, Christ yesterday, today the same, and evermore our Redeemer. Grant then, O God, when the church bells are ringing, many in saving faith may come, where Christ his message is bringing. I know my own, know me, you not the world my faith shall see. My peace I leave with